your brain will fall out.
I'm living the American dream.
Radio. Hark! From sea to rising sea, crafty Christians are busy putting the tut and con back in Constitution. From California to Maine, referenda ruffians are using the blunt fury of the ballot box to make sure that gays go to bed each night without protection. Equal protection, because using touchscreen popularity contests against a minority is like stealing the 14th Amendment from a baby. Well, many of my brethren on the right have a fetish for those wig-wearing, Christ-denying, deist Nancy boys and their pesky Bill of Rights. To me, the true founding fathers of America and the role models for all conservative Christians were those prickly Puritans. Not only did they know how to work a belt buckle on a hat, they discovered the fun trick to democracy. All you need is the slightest majority, and you get to waterboard a witch. The more timid founding fathers created a republic instead of a democracy because they thought allowing citizens to vote on individual rights was a really stupid idea. But you know what they call a really stupid idea that's also a really popular one. A law. So which witch should we teabag and Puritans burn next? Here's a hint. What's the one thing religious people hate more than anything? War, greed, other people having fun? Wrong! The correct answer is other religions. Most religions do a nifty little job of marginalizing gays by stubbornly repeating the meme that being a homo is just a silly choice, like picking a tie. Only a really gay tie. But when you think about it, belonging to any religion except mine is just a choice because, darling, you can wear enough red yarn around your emaciated wrist to knit a bison a burqa, but no one is born Kabbalah, much less pretentious enough to join. Likewise, being born in Utah to fresh-faced materialistic parents with a pack of perfectly pressed Abercrombie and Fitch Master Ace clones for siblings doesn't mean you were born a Mormon, it just means you were born a conformist. And since these conformists just love to put the rights of people outside the mainstream up for a vote, it's only Christian of us to turn the tables, because you may choose to be a Mormon, but with only 51% of the vote, any state can choose to say, not so fast, you bunch of magic bra-wearing freaks. Darling, your cult may be legit in Utah, but in the real world, it's regarded as Scientology light. Just one closeted celebrity away from grabbing the tiara at the most gullible white people in America pageant. Here's a fun fact. Dick Cheney's grandkid has two mommies. Funner fact, Mormon founder Joseph Smith's kids had over 30 of them. Freaky fact, one-third of Smith's tawdry little prairie brothel was staffed by kids. So, being lectured about what constitutes a traditional marriage by a Mormon is a bit like being scolded for loitering by a crack whore. Did you know that Mormons believe that God was a man who now lives with a posse of wives on a compound near the star Kolob? I know, I thought it was Star Trek too. And this outer space harem is constantly getting jabbed in the you-know-where by the Lord's enormous you-know-what. Ouch. When did Joseph Smith use his magical stones to concoct this tax-free pyramid scheme? 1830. I don't have furniture that new. So Jesus and I ask you, are the Mormons a minority with enough traditional values to survive a popular vote? Before you answer, consider this. Guess how many founding fathers were Mormons? Zero. And guess how many brave men who fought in the Revolutionary War were Mormons? Again, zero. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? There's something suspiciously un-American about those Mormons. So let's have a referendum on them for a change.
I fired a guy for bringing me the wrong pen. I don't even remember his name.
Unalienable rights. The Creator giveth, and his flock taketh away.
Hard cash and God of a Mormon moment of $30 billion.
Scene of a raid which nets nearly every adult in the place for polygamy.
Mormonism is a cult. Mormonism is a cult. Mormonism is a cult.
It's being a cult.
It's very cultish.
Mormonism is a cult because it has the primary features of a cult.
President Obama.
Moran became convinced that it's a fraud. There's compelling evidence that the Mormon church leaders knowingly and willfully misrepresent the historical truth of their origins and of the church for the purpose of deceiving their members. into a state of mind that renders them exploitable. I don't think they really understand the degree to which they are engaging in brainwashing. These are masters of mendacity. I think it's a $30 billion multinational corporation that one can expect to have the best PR staff in the world.
I'm Queen Bee. Jesus may love you, but that doesn't mean I do.
The Lord Almighty will grant me the patience to love thy neighbor, especially when our houses are connected by an annex.
I know how to get what I want by keeping the laws of the Lord intact, loosely.
As the first wife, I get the most respect. And why shouldn't I? The Lord is no dummy. He knows who deserves what. This is inedible.
You haven't even tried it yet.
I don't have to.
I swear to our Heavenly Father that if Arya crosses me one more time, she'll be begging for a crucifixion. It would be merciful compared to what I want to do to her.
Markel is the third wife, which basically means she's a leper. Not a curable leper that Jesus would take pity on, but a leper that whores on the weekend.
I make all the clothes for the family. I have been blessed with the creative gene, but my real passion, making replicas of the Mormon tabernacle. I'm proficient in all types of materials, wood, clay, paper mache. I've even constructed one solely out of baby teeth. As you can imagine, it's caused quite a buzz around the compound.
I've been nicknamed the Rebellious Bride. I'm different than Arya and Laura Lee. Thank you, Jesus. But I mean to take my rebellious rep and do something productive with it. Mormon rap is an untapped industry. Nobody that I know is doing it. Wife in the house.
Next time on The Real Housewives of the LDS.
It's blasphemy, Joseph!
You can't keep a sister wife down.
When did we get a TV?
Why do you call me that?
I'm beginning to think that this whole gay thing is not that bad of an idea.
Mormonism teaches that trillions of planets scattered throughout the cosmos are ruled by countless gods who once were human like us. They say that long ago on one of these planets, to an unidentified god and one of his goddess wives, a spirit child named Elohim was conceived. This spirit child was later born to human parents who gave him a physical body. Through obedience to Mormon teaching and death and resurrection, he proved himself worthy and was elevated to godhood as his father before him. Mormons believe that Elohim is their heavenly father and that he lives with his many goddess wives on a planet near a mysterious star called Korah. Here, the god of Mormonism and his wives, through endless celestial sex, produced billions of spirit children. To decide their destiny, the head of the Mormon gods called a great heavenly council meeting. Both of Elohim's eldest sons were there, Lucifer and his brother Jesus. A plan was presented to build planet Earth, where the spirit children would be sent to take on mortal bodies and learn good from evil. Lucifer stood and made his bid for becoming savior of this new world. Wanting the glory for himself, he planned to force everyone to become gods. Opposing the idea, the Mormon Jesus suggested giving man his freedom of choice, as on other planets. The vote that followed approved the proposal of the Mormon Jesus, who would become savior of the planet Earth. Enraged, Lucifer cunningly convinced one-third of the spirits destined for Earth to fight with him and revolt. Thus, Lucifer became the devil and his followers the demons. Sent to this world, they would forever be denied bodies of flesh and bone. Those who remained neutral in the battle were cursed to be born with black skin. This is the Mormon explanation for the Negro race. The spirits that fought most valiantly against Lucifer would be born into Mormon families on planet Earth. These would be the lighter-skinned people, or white and delightsome, as the Book of Mormon describes them. Early Mormon prophets taught that Elohim and one of his goddess wives came to Earth as Adam and Eve to start the human race. Thousands of years later, Elohim, in human form once again, journeyed to Earth from the starbase Kolob, this time to have sex with the Virgin Mary, in order to provide Jesus with a physical body. By maintaining a rigid code of financial and moral requirements and through performing secret temple rituals for themselves and the dead, the Latter-day Saints hope to prove their worthiness and thus become gods. Those Mormons who were sealed in the eternal marriage ceremony expect to become polygamous gods in the celestial kingdom, rule over other planets, and spawn new families throughout eternity.
Out of contact, Mother Earth. Contact, Mother Earth. The spirit of Mother Earth. Get in contact with the spirit of Mother Earth. Get in contact with science and mathematics. Contact Mother Earth. Let me tell you, Mother Earth. Let me tell you something. There is no Father God. There is only Mother Earth. There is only Mother Earth. There is only. Hugging a tree will heal you. Heal you. Go out and hug a ponderosa pine. I want to tell you. Jesus Christ. Bible. The stupidest thing ever written on paper. Jesus Christ. Stupid doctrine. Nonsensical, right-wing, fanatical, homophobic. Brainless, the Bible, brainless, the Bible carrying some kind of intellectual disease that needs to be ostracized so that we can be helpful. Bible, this is not intelligence. Jesus Christ, Bible, it will never, ever be right. It has filled the rape crisis centers. It has filled mental hospitals. Don't think. What's the point? It's nothing but cold-blooded, state-supported church. Man, read Harry Potter. Give me that alternative lifestyle. Please. Tell me how to feel good. Come out. I don't care. The homosexual, come out. Hear that. God has filled the drug rehab centers. It has filled the divorce courts. It has filled pornography and call it the freedom of the church. Jesus Christ is phobia kind of person, something that's carrying some kind of intellectual disease that needs to be ostracized so that we can be healthy. Come out. Don't give me people playing let's pretend. Christians, they were making idols and they were people playing let's pretend. People playing let's pretend. Reject faith, throw God out. Stand up for a secular humanist society. Believe in demon spirits. They're very real and they're in church. Stop Bible believing. Stop church. We have to live. We have to live.
In a cost-cutting measure brought on by sluggish first-quarter tithes, recently elected Pope Benedict XVI announced today that he will issue pink slips to 20 cardinals. The pontiff told reporters that any downsizing is regrettable, but the Catholic Church needs to streamline its operations in order to compete in the spiritual marketplace.
These were good, capable cardinals. We prayed for a way to save their jobs, but unfortunately, the bottom line is the bottom line. This is a church we're running, not a charity ward.
The laid-off cardinals will be given a generous severance package that includes 20,000 boys.
Some people's hot, some people's cold, some people's not very swift to behold. Some people do it, some see right through it. Some wear pajamas if only they knew it. The pajama people are boring me to pieces.
But the trouble about rumour is, if it's written down, someone will believe it. You could have the most far-fetched, made-up, impossible, illogical bollocks. And if it's in print, someone will believe it. Just look at the Bible. Old Testament. Oh, that's my favourite. That is a rip-roaring read, the Old Testament. It's brilliant. I like the God in that one. It's a better God. New Testament God, he's a bit wishy-washy. He's a bit modern parent. Do you know what I mean? He's a bit liberal. Turn the other cheek. No, Old Testament God, he's like 50s dad. He takes his belt off and goes, you fucking what? Oh, you know the fucking rules. I've told you. You wound me right up, you muppet. Fucking floods. You, pestilence, fuck off. You, what did you do? That's not too bad. M.E.
Oi, oi, oi. Grab a mother, get him out of my way. Oi, oi, oi. Grab a mother, get him out of my way.
The Vatican announced a new set of church laws today intended to reduce the amount of nocturnal emissions released from teenage polluters by nearly 50% over the next decade. According to Cardinal Antonio Bertoli, previous attempts to restrict nocturnal emission levels failed because they relied solely on self-policing.
Year after year, the worst polluters went unpunished, leaving others to clean up the mess.
To reduce emissions, males of ejaculatory age who fail to meet the new standards will be required to outfit their genitals with special catalytic converters.
I've been an atheist since I was about 8 or 9, and when I went to secondary school, by then I knew about natural selection, the Big Bang Theory, carbon dating, and the Earth was 4 billion years old, and so my poor RE teacher, I was the bane of his life. And looking back, he was a bit thick, right? He was one of those teachers that I thought, oh, fuck it, I'll just keep my head down. You know what I mean? He came in on a motorbike and played table tennis all day with the div kids just to keep, you know what I mean? You know the sort, don't you? And he hated me. He hated me because I was smart and I wouldn't let him get away with any bollocks, right? So when he said things like, and God made the heaven and the earth in 6 days and the earth is 5,000 years old. I'm, no, it isn't. Yeah, it's 4 billion years old. How can he do that? God can do anything. Well, why did he do it in 6? Why did he do it in 5? Let's push him a little bit. Let's, you know. And he was saying that everything that happens, God does. He's done everything. Everything that happens, he means to happen. He's on top of it. He's everywhere. And everything he does is good. And I went, well, that's clearly not true either. Why are newborn babies taken from their parents? They're innocent. Why are some people born into abject poverty? And he went, because God moves in mysterious ways. That is the theological equivalent of going, look over there. Ooh. It's not an answer, is it? We swear on the Bible in a court of law, still. And if the judge was to say to you, how do you account for the fact you say you're home asleep at midnight, but we found your DNA at the scene of the crime, and you went, I move in mysterious ways. Good night, it won't wash. This is how stupid this teacher was. A kid asked him, he said, sir, why do we swear on the Bible in a court of law? Clearly, the answer is, if you believe in God, if that's your God, you believe in him, you believe he's watching you, you get a guilt trip, you don't lie. He hadn't worked that out. So thinking on his feet, he said, because every law of the land is mentioned in the Bible. I went, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. He went, no, it is. Somewhere in the Bible, every law of this land is mentioned. I went, what, even video piracy?
Local church leader Reverend Carl Greist has been genuinely blessed with 9 inches of God-given manhood. The pastor's colleagues are saying that while his member is nothing short of miraculous, it doesn't interfere with his holy duties. Fellow pastor Jonathan Bellman.
Except for the occasional sermon in warm weather and his turns in the summer festival dunk tank, Reverend Grist is no different than a preacher with a less spectacular package.
And surely this Sunday, like every Sunday, members of this hugely endowed preacher's congregation will find him forever humble about the enormity of the manifold wonder within his pen.
And some people's cold, and some people's not very swift to behold. And some people do it, some see right through it. Somewhere pajamas, if only they knew it. The pajama people are boring me to pieces. They make me feel like I am wasting my time. They all got flannel up and down the hall, a little trapdoor back around the hall, and some cozy little footies on their mind. Pajama people, pajama people, people. Lord, they make you sleepy with the things they might say. Pajama people, pajama people, people. I wish they'd all go away. Pajama people, pajama people special. Take one home with you and save a dollar today. Pajama people, pajama people. Wrap them up, roll them out, get them out of my way. Hoy, hoy, hoy. Wrap them up, roll them out, get them out of my way. Hoy, hoy, hoy. Wrap them up, roll them out, get them out of my way. Hoy.
One critic, who I know is religious, said, "Oh, Gervais deconstructs the Bible. That's too easy." I think, well, it shouldn't be. If you believe in that, you think it's a serious doctrine, it shouldn't be too easy to deconstruct. You can't do it with a maths book. You can't look through a mug and go, listen to this.
Listen to
you. Oh, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. What cunt wrote that? He said that, God is everywhere and in everything. He's solidly through the universe. And I came prepared. I thought, this will end it. I came in like a little smart ass and went, "Sir, is God in a vacuum which has been scientifically proved to have nothing in it?" He went, "Yep." That's it. I thought, well, I can't win then. So I started saying, "Is he up my ass? Is he up your ass?" The clever stuff hadn't worked. I was going, "Sir, is God up all our arses?" Including Richard Gere's. It must be crowded up there, mustn't it? The New Testament is founded on the belief that Jesus is half man, half God, born of a virgin womb. And I think that particular little rumour came about with Mary on the back foot. Awkward questions about the old pregnancy from Joseph. "You're pregnant. You haven't been..." "No way." "Well, how could this have happened then?" "Two ways." "One..." I know. Remember when I was washing in the Sea of Galilee and I splashed up some spunky water?" "No." What about the baby is half God?" And everyone went, "Yeah, right." But everyone's entitled to their opinion. And if you believe in God, you're wrong.
I don't know, folks. I gotta tell you, I tell it the way it is. I'm not a religious person. I'm a very spiritual person. And I gotta tell you, I'm really sick and tired. I think people need to keep things to themselves. Honest to God. Look, if you're religious, keep it to yourself. You know, if you're gay, keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear it. People are trying to push stuff on you, know what I'm saying? But religion is the only thing where people actually come to the door and try to sell it to you. Gays don't do that. It's like, "Hi." My name's Fred. This is my partner, Joe. We'd like to join the Gay Alliance of America. Hello? Can I see people? Some people wear the cross here, which is great. You know, you know what I wear? I wear the vagina. Because that's who I worship. And it is my maker. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm not lying to you. It's honest to God's truth. I'm at the boardwalk today. This lady comes up, she hands me a flyer. I said, what's that? She goes, Jesus loves you. I said, how do you know? Because Jesus loves everybody. Don't you want to go to a better place? I said, I'm trying to have a good time right here, right now. I'll worry about that later. She goes, but don't you want to prepare? So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cheat on my wife. I'm going to beat my kids. I'm going to rob and steal and screw everybody over. Then right when I'm ready to die, I'm going to repent. She says, don't you think Jesus will know that? I go, hey, I'm a pretty good actor. She went to the next person.
Anyway, three blokes going to a pub. And God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And it's a theme pub, and the theme of the pub is uncertainty. Nobody knows how much anything costs, what they do when they leave, or what they're doing there in the first place. It's basically like an ordinary pub. And God goes at the bar, he says, I've a couple of light ales and dry roasted. And the barman says, anything for the Holy Spirit? And God says, no, he's ineffable. He's a manifestation of a conceptual entity. And the barman says, what, just orange juice in? Yeah. And then the Holy Spirit goes off to play a game of pinball. And it's one of those pinball versions of a film. And it's the pinball version of Gandhi. And you have to get three balls in the magic naan to light the peaceful transition to independence. Very difficult game. And God then recognises the barman. He says, you're Werner Heisenberg, aren't you? The German scientist, inventor of the uncertainty theorem. And Heisenberg says, yeah, that is right. Imagine that me, a German scientist, should embrace uncertainty. The exquisite irony is not lost on me. God said, yeah, great, yeah. And Heisenberg said, yeah, as a young man, I crave precision in all things. I wanted to know the smallest thing in the known universe. It's a particle. Very difficult to measure a particle. To measure it, you must shine light upon it. But by shining light upon it, you distort the image of the particle, making it impossible to take an accurate reading. I used smaller and smaller and smaller amounts of light, but still to no avail. Eventually, I used the smallest amount of light known to man, the glove box light of a 1974 Austin Maxi. Still, this was too much light. Maybe it refracted off the A to Z of the Midlands. The laminated cover, Dummkopf. God said, yeah, shut up, mate, the strippers are on. They weren't real strippers, they were metaphysical strippers, and they just stripped away layers of preconception till they were just two naked, quivering question marks, and you put your money on the dots.
Details of this show and other shows of the Kaput X Radio series can be found at radioforall.net. Also available on the program page is a contact box for your convenience.